Coming down the aisle at a combined weight of 436 pounds, the team of Jeffrey Martin, Brian Berga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
You are listening to the High Spot Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast and on all our social media platforms, on the Facebook page, on Instagram, and on Snapchat. And also, we're on iTunes and Google Play. Leave a review, subscribe, and that's the only way we're going to know if we're doing a good job or a bad job. But I think we're doing mostly a good job. I am Jeff Martin alongside the trendsetter. Brian, how are you today, man? We are really, really trying to get better because we are just a few days away now from SummerSlam weekend NXT TakeOver. And also, we've got a great guest for you today. Jim Varsalone of the Miami Herald will join us. We're going to break down SummerSlam. We're going to preview it for you guys here. But first of all, Trendsetter, how you doing?
Doing good, man. Excited. You know, SummerSlam, it's in the air. It's the tail end of summer, which is disappointing, but I've been looking forward to this card and this event for quite some time now. And the exciting thing is now that you and I have talked about before that, wow, this is number three now in Brooklyn. It looks like they like this area pretty well. There's a contract for three straight years, and you're like, how's that going to work out? Now it looks like it's going to be a fourth year because they've confirmed that in 2018, SummerSlam will be in Brooklyn, New York as well. So as much as I was thinking maybe this is the last one in New York City for quite some time, now a little calmness, but again, a lot to live up to. So I'm excited, man. SummerSlam, NXT TakeOver, a lot to look forward to if you're a wrestling fan around this time.
It is definitely in the air. So many things going on in the world of professional wrestling, and that is why we are here recapping with you guys. Listen, man, it's got to start on a somber note, though, because as much fun as we're going to have on SummerSlam weekend for NXT TakeOver and for SummerSlam and for something to wrestle with Bruce Pritchard, still on a somber note, kind of going to be a bittersweet weekend is the condition of Ric Flair. Of course, last week we found out that, you know, he's not doing so good. And, you know, reports that you hear, he's still trying to, you know, it's still a fight for him right now. Came out of surgery. And, you know, just our thoughts and prayers for Ric Flair, because you know what? A weekend like this, we're really going to miss the Nature Boy.
Not only miss the Nature Boy, but it really makes you look back and collectively think of what's really important in life. You know, as much as we get excited for these events, Jeff, we talk about it, the anticipations there, Ric Flair being a legend. I mean, I don't think you could talk about pro wrestling without mentioning the name Ric Flair. And so ultimately, all you want is for somebody, in this case, Ric Flair, just to be healthy and to be good. And hopefully he's out of the out of any critical state that he might be in. But this was a huge surprise. So, yeah, it brings a somber note on it. It won't affect us trying to enjoy it. But it would be nicer to know that Ric Flair is in better health conditions. But at the same time, all you could do is send your positive thoughts, your prayers to the Flair family. And I'm sure they're going through a difficult time. But as of right now, you can only hope for the best.
I mean, listen, when you think of professional wrestling, it's synonymous with Ric Flair. So, you know, especially on a weekend like this where we come to celebrate and we all come in from all the various countries, you know, we always know that, you know, Ric Flair, WWE, Ric Flair and professional wrestling go hand in hand. And for the Nature Boy, on behalf of the Jersey Wrecking Crew, listen, our thoughts and prayers go out to you and the Flair family as well. So, Brian, you couldn't have said it better enough, which also leads to a little programming change. Unfortunately, we're supposed to have Conrad Thompson on this week. We promoted it on Twitter, on the Facebook page. And unfortunately, well, we know the dynamic. We know the relationship between Conrad and Ric Flair. They used to have their podcast together. They are very good friends. So unfortunately, you know, with everything going on, it really wasn't the right time for Conrad to come on.
Which is understandable because at the same time, hey, we wouldn't hold anything against him for doing that. But at the same time, you understand that certain things are more important than, you know, doing an interview and a podcast. So we appreciate Conrad for being gracious enough to come on the show, but then understand as well that, you know, certain things come ahead of this.
And plus, on our behalf, it wouldn't be fair if we told Conrad, listen, we're not going to talk about Rick. So as far as on our end too, we can't do a whole interview with Conrad with the whole situation and ask how Ric Flair is doing. We wouldn't be doing our job as you know, part of the media. So we just decided to do this at a later date, and we will talk this weekend, hopefully, at something to wrestle with at the Gramercy Theater.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. So we will definitely rebook Conrad and looking forward to talk to him about the very successful podcast that he has with Bruce Pritchard. But
on a brighter side of things, though, Jeff, is the mere fact that as much as we hope for the best for Ric Flair, and we appreciated Conrad for reaching out to us and rescheduling, Some exciting news in the world of professional wrestling that the, you know, as you have mentioned before, the hottest free agent out there right now, baby, is actually signed now with the WWE. And reports have gone back and forth. It seems to be all but confirmed now that, you know, Adam Cole will be making his way, former Ring of Honor champion. And what he's done in his career has been nothing short of, you know, being legendary at this stage in his career. Has signed with the WWE. Is it, in your mind, is it about time? Or is there an excitement for what could be right now for a guy like Adam Cole?
Look, as a WWE fan, it's selfish because you always want to bring the best to the WWE. And you're always like, oh, he's got to come here. You know,
it's like any sports team. You want to sign the hottest free agent out there and the best team. You know, the dream team type of thing.
And the WWE is the Yankees and the Cowboys and, you know, those teams that, you know, that you expect the best players to be on eventually at one time.
I'm surprised you said Cowboys. I thought you were going to say Patriots or something.
Patriots. But, you know, listen, Cowboys are America's team. So, you know. But
not my team.
No, not at all. But when you get a guy like Adam Cole, of course you're excited. And with the rumors of him going to the NXT roster, you start thinking of NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3. And you always think of the famous person sitting in the audience. We saw Bobby Roode. We've seen Drew McIntyre. And I really would be surprised if you don't see Adam Cole sitting in the audience as they present him to the NXT Universe this Saturday. So great for Adam Cole to officially start. I mean, we've kind of kept following him on Instagram and on Twitter. He's kind of enjoyed his summer vacation. So now
as
it's
well
time.
He should.
It's time to get into it right now. NXT WWE, welcome Adam Cole. Baby.
Yes, and you know, it's something exciting, and it just, again, shows the depth that NXT is going for. Although they call themselves still a developmental brand, and you know, depending on who you talk to, they say we're not developmental, we are. To see the amount of talent that they have acquired around the indie field and the indie circuit, it's just nothing short of amazing in my mind, and just a lot to look forward to if you are a wrestling fan and watching the NXT product and listen to the show that Jeff and I do on the Fans Podcast called NXT Weekly. Could be more excited to break down possible feuds, possible potential of what's going to happen, and looking forward to the day he does make it to the main roster. But ultimately, like I said, great acquisition by the WWE. I think it'll be a good partnership, and Adam Cole's been around this crazy business for a while, so there's no doubt in my mind he'll be prepared and be ready for it. But you know, as we start preparing for things, we're preparing obviously for SummerSlam with our interview that we have shortly for you. But again, it is the go home of all the events, Raw and SmackDown, and you think there'd be a lot of build up towards this, which there has been initially for it. But ultimately, what I want to ask you first and foremost, the go homes of Raw and SmackDown, have they helped, or have they just been kind of meh in terms of the build up towards SummerSlam?
Kind of what?
Meh.
No, I think they did their job. I think they hyped up the Fatal 4-Way for Brock, Samoa Joe, Braun Strowman, and Roman Reigns. I think they did a good job.
Do you feel like you needed that, though, all four of them in the ring at the same time?
Yeah, well, of course. They always do that. It's been like tradition now that they all, you know, have that final confrontation and, you know, builds up for the pay-per-view, gets that last-minute interest.
And shout-out goes out to our WrestlePro boys out there. You know,
yes, who actually...
Chris Payne.
Yeah.
Danny Moth.
Yeah.
Heavenly Bodies, which, you know,
Heavenly
Body eventually we will meet
Justin
number
Carino.
One. Exactly.
Yeah, and we will see them September 9th, too, at the WrestlePro event in Rahway, New Jersey. So, yeah, no, kudos to them. Congratulations. For
getting beat up by Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. So I think they did a good job on Raw, and I think for SmackDown Live, the controversy was Baron Corbin losing his Money in the Bank so quickly. So a lot of speculation on to like whether WWE's down on him, and if you recall, Sandow was the other person to lose the Money in the Bank opportunity. He was kind of, I would say, kind of
well, there are rumors
coaxed by John Cena to hand it in.
Yeah, and there are rumors wondering, you know, would the cash-in happen at SummerSlam because we have Shinsuke Nakamura going one-on-one with Jinder Mahal for the WWE Championship. Is that going to be an opportunity? Now it seems like that's not even in the works anymore because of what just happened.
Yeah, and I'm more surprised that there's been a lack of interaction between Jinder and Shinsuke. So, you know, like the first time we're going to see them, like, even interact is going to be at SummerSlam, which could be a good thing because, like, you were saying that maybe it wasn't needed for the Raw match to promote the Fatal 4-Way. You know, maybe it's good that these guys don't interact until SummerSlam. So we'll find out what happens. But there's so much to talk about. It's a huge card, and that's why we needed as much time as possible. So we're going to sit down and talk to our good friend Jim Varsalone from the Miami Herald. You can follow him on Twitter at JimmyV3. We get it kicked off with talking about Triple H's State of NXT address on the conference call that he usually has on the Wednesday before SummerSlam or any big event. So the main topic is exactly what is the direction of NXT, and we talked to our good friend Jim Varsalone. All right, Brian, our guests keep getting just bigger and bigger, and it's just impressive. SummerSlam is now on the brink. We are on the precipice of SummerSlam, and we're here talking to Jim Varsalone of the Miami Herald. You cover WWE and all Miami sports. So, Jim, listen, you had the luck to be one of the select few to be on the conference call for NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. This guy spoke about a lot of things. What in particular stuck out to you as one of the topics that Triple H was talking about?
Just how he's developed and built that brand, and they had to basically refuel when they did the brand split and they did the draft. So now he feels comfortable. And right after that happened, it was like, oh gosh, they really depleted our women's division. We got to start building that back up, and they took some of the guys. And it was sort of in that state of limbo. All right, let's see, what are we going to do now? And then gradually they started bringing in talent. They developed talent and brought them up, so they had him on their NXT shows. He really felt really confident with the lineup that he has for the TakeOver special, and he feels confident with the talent they have there. Not just talent from other indie groups that they signed, but talent that are actually developing from scratch.
That's really exciting, too. I mean, did he also mention anything about the fact that, this is like a trilogy? I mean, we've seen the first TakeOver in Brooklyn. We saw number 2. Now this will be 3. Not too long ago, they said that, in 2018, it's going to happen again. Is there something about the fact that they like that area around the Barclays Center, the atmosphere around there, that's why they're going to continue going there for next year as well?
Yeah, they do. It more so than the Staples Center, obviously, out in L.A. WWE, no secret, the history is it was a northeastern New York, Madison Square Garden, Boston Garden territory, and they just feel comfortable still having something there. And a big show like this, since WrestleMania goes everywhere, travels around year to year, this is almost like their big Madison Square Garden event that they have, except it's in the Barclays Center, and it's in Brooklyn, but still, it's a bigger facility, obviously, so that's one of the reasons as well. But yeah, this is like a homecoming type of feel for them with talent and with also the area. So it is, and they'll be here for a while. They want to do that. They've even talked a little bit in the past, although it's not something that's, oh my God, what did they say they're going to do this? Where WrestleMania would be 4 locations, and that would be it, and it would just rotate the 4. But those are just prelim talks they've had over the years. Maybe we should do that. Maybe we should find 4 spots. They haven't done it with WrestleMania. I don't think they're going to do that with WrestleMania. But something like this with SummerSlam, a Royal Rumble, if they find a location that's hot and they really like, they'll just keep it there and just keep growing it and building on it and doing it like that. So I think that's what we're seeing with especially the big ones. Royal Rumble, Survivor Series, and SummerSlam. If they could find a set location for that or 1 or 2 locations for that, keep it there. Keep everybody familiar with it so people want to travel in, make it a destination like they do at WrestleMania. That's a big thing now. They want to make these, especially those pay-per-views, SummerSlam. You have WrestleMania, that's everybody traveling there. It's the place to be. People come from all over the place. They're trying to do the same thing with SummerSlam, and then they want to morph that with Royal Rumble and Survivor Series. Those are their top 4. They'd like to have each one of them be like a WrestleMania. I don't think it will get to that level. But that's the thought process between those 4 pay-per-views.
Yeah, that's a great point, Jim. It works logistically for them. So obviously it comes back to the Barclays Center next year in 2018. Listen, there was to me, the elephant in the room, and I don't know if anyone, it was on the top of their agenda, but a lot of rumors about Adam Cole. I know there's a lot of reports saying that he officially signed with the WWE, but yeah, I don't think WWE acknowledged it. Any belief that we could see Adam Cole at TakeOver in Brooklyn this Saturday?
That's interesting because the last time I remember when they had TakeOver Orlando for WrestleMania, and they had Drew McIntyre sitting there in the audience, and then that got the big buzz going for that. Sure, if it's going to happen, that would be the time for it to happen at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, have somebody there like an Adam Cole. Although it's interesting, Adam Cole obviously is known from Ring of Honor, and fans know him from the internet. But I wonder how big a star he is for other fans, maybe more the general fans that watch the different products, especially if they're just WWE NXT fans. So it'll be a big buzz to see him there, if he's sitting there or something happens. But I just wonder still with some of them, when they bring them in and we don't see them really popping out there when they first get there, if that's their mindset behind that. You know, this is, hey, this guy's really good. This guy has what it takes. Let's bring him in. But is Adam Cole at that? I guess my question of the question is Adam Cole at that stage where he should be there, put in that spot like that? I don't know. I don't know if it's, like I said, a lot of us will be like, oh, wow, cool, Adam Cole, there he is and all. But overall, is it the thing to do? Maybe the NXT fan, that is the type of fan that is really into all the indie wrestling and the Ring of Honors and different things like that. And you want to do that with an Adam Cole. I got to meet Adam Cole when he was down here at Fort Lauderdale, War Memorial Auditorium. They had a Ring of Honor show. And I got to talk to him. This guy was just great, professional, inside and outside the ring. And he knew what to say, knew how to handle himself, very good in the ring, could turn it on and off with fans. It was awesome. I said to some of the people there, this is a guy I could see in NXT and then possibly on the main roster and all. Adam Cole just has that, the whole aura about him, not just the wrestling.
Yeah, I think if they count on the NXT fans being like those smart indie fans, I think then, you know, having him sit in the audience like they did with Drew, you know, McIntyre, with a Bobby Roode, I think, you know, the Brooklyn crowd would go nuts. I think, especially here in the Northeast where, you know, Ring of Honor, I think they would notice him. But you make a great point. Do you see him as being a potential star? Because you seem a little hesitant with him now, but do you see him being a major player down the road?
All depends on the character development with WWE. Would he be a big star in NXT? I say yes, because NXT is more about the wrestling. It's more about your New Japan, your Ring of Honor, all of that fans love and that are into NXT, the older fans. But when you go WWE, now you're crossing over into a lot of kids and families as well. So can Adam Cole come up with a persona character that's going to resonate? Is he going to come up with a catchphrase? Is he going to be someone that the younger fans are going to like or hate? Those are things you see when you see somebody that's doing well in the indies, and then they come NXT and do well, and then they go to WWE, and you're like, what's happening to them? Oh, they're doing a poor job with them. Well, it may not be that. It may just be that the fan base isn't into their type of character, their type of wrestling, their type of persona. So it's a two-way street. It's not only the creative of WWE, but you also got to look at the talent themselves. So I think he could be a really big star in NXT for sure. Would he be a big star on WWE? That's hard to say for anybody. Unless you throw in someone like Brock Lesnar that comes in after all he's done and take someone like that. It's hard to say if any of them is going to be able to reach a level on WWE. I think there's so much wrestling out there. And I think that you have all these different organizations, indies, some that are bigger, etc. And then you have WWE. And I don't think just because you're a star at New Japan or Ring of Honor or Global Force or any of the indies that you're going to be a star in WWE, because it's a totally different ballgame when you get there. There's so much that goes on with WWE that it just takes look what happened to Daniel Bryan, right? It took him that WrestleMania moment, and that was in Miami, where he got beaten 18 seconds to Sheamus, and he was a heel, but the crowd rallied because they felt bad for him that all his build-up, and that's all he gets, is that one. And then all of a sudden, the guest move and exploded. If that never happened, who knows? Maybe Daniel Bryan isn't someone that we're talking about now being still a part of the organization and all, and then reaching that status. So it's just interesting, the dynamic that there's professional wrestling and there's WWE.
Yeah, you bring up a good point, though, about the interesting dynamic, because when I've looked at NXT, and I've discussed this with Jeff several times when we've done shows, it's kind of interesting. In the beginning, it was a place where, for example, you would see these, you know, guys from Ring of Honor, New Japan, established talent. Now it seems more than ever you have established talent, guys that don't necessarily, for example, you know, need to be created or develop their characters because it's already been established. Is that something Triple H talked upon? Because I know a lot of the talent are coming from the Performance Center. They're trying to develop them into superstars. But when you really look at this roster now, especially, I mean, you have guys like Bobby Roode, Drew McIntyre, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and then Adam Cole. What does that say about WWE and their scouting in terms of the independent circuit?
He did talk about that. One of the questions raised, he did mention that. And what he would said was, still, even when you get guys like that, or a Kevin Owens, or a Finn Balor, talent like that, you still have to develop them into the WWE way. Mm-hmm. Because it is a different way.
Is there a WWE style they talked about?
Yeah, they're a WWE style. Basically, their style, you've got to, it's more about camera angles and fans and getting that reaction with the fans. And it's just because a lot of these guys, when they go out there, they don't have to worry about the hard camera and being make sure they're in a spot and the referee leading them into where to stay, where to go, what to do. Make sure that vignette, when it's up and it's over, you're already out of the ring. The little nuances that go along with it is all part of the WWE way. And then also, you don't have as many freedoms as far as the talking goes and making sure you hit the selling points and things like that. It's a whole nother ball game, and that's why a lot of times you'll see some of these talents that come in that are already have worked the indies and other places still go to NXT because they're more or less not learning the ring skills, but they're learning the WWE skills and what they need to do for just how to be in the ring and where to be in the ring and developing that rapport that they with the agents and the people backstage and creative and dealing with all those things. It was interesting to me that Austin Aries asked for his release and was granted his release because here was somebody that was doing well, had a spot, was somebody that had a nice run. He was injured somewhat too, but in NXT, maybe with the WWE way, it just didn't fit with Austin Aries or vice versa. And he just decided, hey, let me get, because we didn't read or hear anything about, oh, there's some rumblings here with Aries and creative or with the writers or with Vince McMahon or whoever, and all of a sudden something like that happens, and you're wondering, well, gee, what the heck happened? The first thing we're going to think of is, uh-oh, something happened, because somebody's leaving, something negative may have happened. Well, maybe not. Maybe it was just Austin Aries figured, you know, this road life, traveling like this, the WWE way of how I'm to present myself and do this and do that, and maybe I'm only getting 5 minutes for a match instead of 15 minutes for a match. All these things that we might think, well, they're getting paid. Oh, so what's the big deal? Well, no, a lot of them, this is their passion, this is their craft. And for them to do that, it's a change. It's a change. So you'll have the established talent, but they still need to be indoctrinated into the WWE way. Then you have, obviously, the new talent that they're working with from whatever sport or field they're from that they're making into a wrestler who will be there for a while, and then they're slowly, the maturation process will get them on the NXT shows, the local shows that they have in Florida, and then maybe a couple of the bigger shows when they travel, and then they'll bring them up to their takeover shows. But you got to remember, those takeover shows, there's only a few of them, and you only have, like, what, 4, 5, 6 matches on the takeover shows? So it's not like you're getting a lot of talent on those takeover shows. And there's a lot of talent there right now, so there are a lot of people there battling for spots. And I think that's a good thing, because if you're battling for spots, that means others aren't going to become complacent.
Exactly. So, competition is always a great thing. And like you said before, there's a huge learning curve when you come from the independent scene, whether it be Ring of Honor, New Japan, to learn the WWE style or system, as they call it, is definitely a huge learning curve, Jeff.
Yeah, and we are
it's
so
glad. Adjustment.
Yeah, we're so glad to have Jim on. Just fresh off the NXT Brooklyn conference call, you know, you learn a lot of stuff. But listen, first and foremost, it's a celebration of this weekend. You got SummerSlam and NXT TakeOver. But you can't help but also think, too, that everyone's mind is also on the health and well-being of Ric Flair. You know, Triple H made some comments too, and you know, we all know that Triple H and Ric Flair have this special relationship. And listen, we all know what Ric Flair means to us growing up. Any updates? Anything else you've heard on the condition of Ric Flair?
Only what his significant other, Wendy Barlow, formerly Fifi the Maid in WCW,
yeah,
and yeah. She posted something, and that's been on the internet, where she said it had nothing to do with the colon. He did not have colon surgery. It was more of it wasn't anything with the colon. It was more he was having abdominal pains, and it had to do with they had to put him on his kidneys, and they had to put him on dialysis. He had the surgery because he was blocked, and they're hoping that he's going to be able to recover fully from this now. The surgery's over. But she made it a point to say she didn't know how the information got out about the colon and what the media does. And, you know, in defense of that, it's like with social media, especially nowadays, everybody wants to be first to get information out. So everybody's trying to throw it. And then when somebody gets it out there, everybody else jumps on the bandwagon and feeds off that information and retweets it or reposts it. And then all of a sudden, the story becomes this full-blown-out thing, no matter what it is. And I think there's not as many checks and balances from media that there used to be just because of that. Everybody wants to get it up first. Everyone wants to get the hits. And everyone wants to get the likes and the posts. So the information that was out, I'm sure, I'm going to go on a limb and say I'm sure was from a credible source. Yeah. That gave that information. Unfortunately, according to her, was not the correct information and all. So situations like that, I think the best thing to do as far as if people are out there on the internet is his talent agency was posting about it and tweeting about it. So they're real close to him, obviously. His family, obviously, or Wendy Barlow, obviously. People like that, if you could get on their Twitter, on their Facebook, or if they do have websites, or something, keep an eye on those. I think you're going to get, and even WWE per se, if Triple H on his Twitter or WWE's website, I think for this situation, those are going to be the best places to go to get accurate, correct information. Because there's nothing special. Look, this isn't about, oh gosh, somebody had a fight backstage, or gee, so-and-so's going out with somebody, or somebody got arrested for speeding. I mean, this is more of a serious matter, so can we have a little better decorum as far as how we're getting the information and releasing the information out there for something like this. So I think those are the places to go. And that's the last thing I read about it was what she sent out. So they're still asking for prayers. Hopefully he's going to recover. Everybody's helpful. He's a fighter. We'll just have to the next several days see what happens. I mean, something like dialysis. I mean, that's something you got to get the kidneys working again and all. So it's this is going to be a tough go.
Definitely no joke what's going on with Ric Flair and his situation too. We all wish him and hope he has a speedy recovery and everything turns out to be well. Did it come off as a surprise to everybody? Because this kind of came up as a surprise to Jeff and I. It just kind of popped up. We knew that, you know, rumors were going around that Ric Flair had medical issues regardless because he's getting up there in age. But this came up to be a really big surprise. Were you surprised when you heard this? Was WWE surprised or Triple H surprised when you heard the news that the severity of what was going on?
Yes, yes, and yes. Everybody was. The thing was, he was just here in South Florida a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
He threw out the first pitch at the Marlins game. They had wrestling night at Marlins Park. And that same weekend, he was involved with Florida Supercon, which was a Comic-Con they had here for 3 days. He looked great. He was throwing the ball, warming up. He was talking to fans. Everybody's wooing. At the Supercon, he was taking pictures, signing autographs. He did a Q&A. He looked good. He was answering the questions fine. Nobody could. I mean, if something was wrong at that time, he really was doing a good sell job because no one could. You didn't know. And then all of a sudden, when this popped, it was like, wow, how did this happen? The guy looked. And he was even talking about coming back down to Miami in a couple weeks because we had a SmackDown house show at the American Airlines Arena where the Miami Heat play. We said that this past Sunday. He said he was coming back in a few weeks to do Dan Le Batard's Highly Questionable show. He was going to be the guest co-host on ESPN, and he was going to, since WWE was going to be here, he was going to go see Charlotte at the SmackDown show because they had SmackDown brand coming and all. So he was looking forward to doing that. And then all of a sudden, this happened, and I guess Friday night, I guess reading everything, Friday night was when he started complaining about the abdominal pains and all, and then that's when they rushed him out to the hospital.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I thought some prayers go out to the Nature Boy Ric Flair, so it's going to be a little bit of a bittersweet SummerSlam weekend. But as we go into SummerSlam itself, like you were saying before, we were talking off air, we're talking about the matches and just how you know it's a jam packed show. You had like about 4 hours of sitting there and watching the WWE card. You know, let's get right to it. You know, the Fatal 4-Way match between Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe. We do predictions here as we preview, you know, every pay-per-view. Just your thoughts on the booking and maybe a little prediction on the match.
It's interesting because Roman Reigns is the guy that when he beat Undertaker, you figure that's it. He's going full heel bad guy, and what better situation for that to happen, and it really hasn't gone full to that, but could this be finally the time where they do that and maybe pair him up with Paul Heyman and try that and see how that dynamic works, and they screw over Brock Lesnar, basically do something like that. Brock loses, he's going to leave anyway according to them, so why not do something like that with Roman Reigns, and you get that monster heel buildup from the fans. Look, the kids are going to be ticked off because he did that and turned. But the older fans are already mad at him anyway, so why not just go full Monty on it and do it that way? I think, because listen, if Brock holds the title, that is, he's not there every week. So you're going to continue to do that. Samoa Joe I really like a lot. He's really good. He's good in the ring. But we've seen Brock Lesnar. And to me, Samoa Joe is very good. Brock Lesnar is very good. But to me, it's almost one or the other. And then Braun Strowman is still very young to this, still very new at it. So do you want to put him in that spot right now? I just see, to me, it seems like Roman Reigns would be the guy. I mean, Paul Heyman could align himself with anybody, basically, and try to get over that person and all. So does Paul Heyman stay with Brock Lesnar? Does he go with Reigns? Does he go with Samoa Joe maybe or something like that, or how they work that out? I'd like to just see Reigns turn full, win the belt, and be aligned with Paul Heyman.
Well, and so that being said, with the way the storyline is going, if Brock Lesnar were to lose, he and Paul Heyman, or more specifically Brock Lesnar, were to leave WWE, now there have been going on talking about, you know, contracts and the fact that he signed to WrestleMania. Is this more, if this does happen and Roman Reigns does end up winning the title, can we now bank it into the fact that Brock Lesnar will be kind of making a return to the Octagon after this?
Well, I think he will, because the money, as long as everything gets cleared and he's able to do that, I think the money's there for that. John Bones Jones, when he beat Daniel Cormier for the belt, who did he talk about? Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. So they know where the money is. John, he doesn't say that, even if Dana White doesn't want to really talk about it from UFC. You're not going to bring that up and get people talking about it and then test the waters if this is something that's not in the plan, down the road in the plans. Why do you do that? So I think the money would be there for sure to have Lesnar against John Bones Jones. So I think if he does get cleared to compete in UFC, that is where that's going. But he could still be a part of WWE because they don't fight every month. So why not, if that's how this is all shaping up? He can go back to UFC, but that doesn't mean he has to just totally end with WWE. So we could see a situation where, well, he did like the last time where he fought for UFC, but he was also working for WWE, and do something like that. If the money's right. And I think in UFC the money will be right, and I think with WWE, because now If he's still involved at UFC, listen, if he's still involved in mixed martial arts, that means he's still going to be out there and he's going to be in the media spotlight because of mixed martial arts and UFC, the biggest mixed martial arts promotion that's out there. So why wouldn't you want it? Why wouldn't you want a Ronda Rousey coming to WrestleMania or a Royal Rumble or a SummerSlam, whether she's in a match or just there? Why wouldn't you want a Conor McGregor to be there? He bashes all the talent a while ago, all the WWE talent and all. Why wouldn't you want this guy, perfect heel, involved in something with your company? I think the same thing with Lesnar. So I do see him returning to UFC. Everything is cleared. He will return to UFC, and I think that situation will be Lesnar and Bones Jones because the money would be there.
Jim, the WWE Championship is on the line. This is the first time in a while where there's been little to no interaction between both men here. And Jinder Mahal, Shinsuke Nakamura. Listen, all roads, everything points to Shinsuke Nakamura becoming the new champion. It makes the most sense. You got Lee England Jr. there, the guy who plays the violin for him, just playing every 2 seconds everywhere in New York for Nakamura. A big entrance is planned. It's got to be all signs pointing to Shinsuke Nakamura becoming the new WWE champion.
I think you're right, and that's the way we want to see it. Now, what happens if that doesn't happen? You know what's going to happen.
Riot.
If that happen.
That's what happens.
Everybody will go online and say WWE sucks, and we're not going to watch anymore, and this is horrible, and this is awful, and there you go. And that'll last for a couple weeks, and everyone will start watching again if they don't watch the next night on Raw. So, I mean, what good is it going to do to get all upset and annoyed about it if it doesn't happen? I agree with you. I'd like to see it happen. I think it would be cool. It would be one of those good moments, and we need moments like that, and all I hope it does happen. But, hey, it's WWE. This isn't the first rodeo. This isn't the first time that everybody thought so-and-so was going to win, and all of a sudden the other guy still somehow comes out with the title. And it makes, you know what? And it makes that guy more, it makes him even more hated. So I think when WWE does that, that's the way they look at it. Hey, we're not stupid. Even though people, it's hard for them to understand this, WWE is not stupid. They've been doing this a while, and they make good money at it still to this day. And even with ratings, when you look at the ratings number, which, by the way, isn't the only way to watch the show anymore, so even if the ratings are going down a little bit here and there, it's not the only indicator anymore of how we watch programs, so you can't just look at the ratings. WWE knows that if Nakamura wins, everybody's going to be happy, good moment, it's going to be great, fans are going to be happy. If they go the other way, they're fine. WWE is fine with that too, no matter what the reaction is. Everybody all saying that's it, we're jumping off the boat.
So there's no winning is what you're telling me, Jim. No one wins in this one. But
Well, that's it. No, I think WWE wins.
Exactly.
WWE wins.
They do. They always win. Because if I had a nickel for every time I said, you know what, I am done with this. I am not watching this anymore. Yeah, I'll catch Raw again and see what happens. It's in our nature, basically, when we love and we're passionate about professional wrestling.
We hate to be wrong, too. Everybody hates. Who doesn't? I do. Everybody. We hate to be wrong. So when we're out there saying, hey, Nakamura's going to win, and then all of a sudden, what? I was wrong. Wait.
Exactly. Oh, it's so wrong. They should have done it this way. Like, we're all great bookers, by the way.
yeah, we're all those Monday morning quarterback booking.
Exactly. We're all those bookers. Like, I should have done this. If I was running that place, that's why we're not running that place, basically. But U.S. title's also on the line.
But I think it's good to understand that WWE isn't stupid. That there's a reason they're doing that. And if it's because everybody is all annoyed and ticked off and they want to, just that's it, I'm not watching or whatever, WWE knows that what reaction they're going to get by doing that.
Oh yeah,
how could they do that? They know what kind of reaction they're going to get if they do it.
They've done this for a while. They know what they're doing, basically. Even though sometimes they act as if, or we feel they don't know what they're doing, though. But moving on from that, we talked about the Universal title. We talked about the WWE Championship. U.S. Championship will be on the line. AJ Styles going one-on-one with Kevin Owens in their third match now in this storyline, which I think has been pretty interesting. And each single time AJ Styles and Kevin Owens have been in the ring, it's been nothing but a must-watch. Now we'll have a special guest referee. Shane McMahon will be in there to kind of be the law and order. Do you see this going in the sense of AJ going over on this and they're really kind of pitting Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon to have a possible match down the road?
Yeah, that looks very strong. Is that what will happen? So you do this, you have the third time, and the stipulation is you get Shane McMahon involved in it. because it's great watching these guys wrestle, but this is the third time. Mm-hmm. And again, the U.S. title's up for grabs. So to bring Shane in and then possibly do something there with Kevin, look, again, anything with a computer, with a pad and pencil, what if they go the other way and they side Shane with Kevin to go against AJ, and Shane helps Kevin win the title, like Triple H helped Kevin win when he was on Raw, the WWE title. So there's always that possibility too. I think though you're right. I think it is going to set up the Shane versus Kevin dynamic. But the other part, the part that I won't be surprised is if Shane does something to help Kevin and sort of aligns there, and we get this whole bad. Now you also bring Daniel Bryan into the picture, so you have Daniel Bryan now having to confront Shane, who's now aligning himself with the bad guy, the heel, Kevin Owens, and what's going to happen there. So the McMahons are right. The McMahons are notorious for that. Whether it be Stephanie, whether it be Vince, the only one except Linda, because she doesn't like to be on part of the show. So, but they're always good at trying to surprise everybody.
Yeah. And but even Linda herself has had some
character.
Memorable moments. Linda herself.
All right, so here's the crazy one that I did not see coming at all on SmackDown Live, and that is Baron Corbin losing his Money in the Bank opportunity. He gets pinned.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was nothing. I didn't see it coming because it's a go home. So you're thinking, okay, just going to set up to the Cena and Corbin, and you're going to get a tease. And then all of a sudden, he loses in probably what I've read now is the shortest match, title match in history. And now it fuels a fire between John Cena and Baron Corbin. A, do you think that Baron Corbin still has a bright future in the eyes of the WWE? Have they soured on him? Because the only person other than that has been Sandow. You know what happened to Sandow? They soured on him. What are your thoughts on just a crazy finish to SmackDown Live?
I think Baron Corbin is still too new. I know he was one of the Performance Center recruits, and he worked his way up there. He started off with WWE at the Performance Center. Actually, I think maybe even FCW before that, and then the Performance Center. But anyway, he'd been there through the process. So I don't think they soured on him. I looked at it more like this. Right? John Cena was the only other one to lose Money in the Bank. Is that right? Or am I off on my history?
Yeah, no,
you got
Cena, Sandow.
You are right.
Yeah.
You are right on that one.
And who's Baron Corbin fighting at SummerSlam? John Cena?
Yeah.
And now you have a battle of the two guys that lost their Money in the Bank shots.
Yeah.
And here you go. I looked at it more as they were doing one of those aha, rather than they were souring on Baron. Although, I would have liked to see Baron win at some point. Not necessarily last night or at SummerSlam, but at some point building him up after SummerSlam and seeing how he does. That's always interesting when they're in between the big pay-per-views and they can sort of test the waters a little bit and all. But I looked at it more like that. I was surprised, but then seeing Cena there get involved and all as well, that's the first thing I thought of was, oh, there you go. So Cena couldn't win it, Money in the Bank, so now he cost Baron Corbin. And by the way, that Mike Chioda had a hand in that too. What was Chioda doing? He should have started the match right away.
Exactly. I'm like, what does he have
to... He waited so long. He waited for Mahal to get up. I'm like, what is he doing?
See, but here's the issue. I was telling Brian when we were watching this. I go, yeah, but you know what? The same thing when Ziggler cashed in his Money in the Bank against Del Rio. They waited until Del Rio actually stood up. So I was like, okay, there is a precedent in that. But it was kind of peculiar that Chioda was giving Jinder Mahal all that time, though, you know?
Yes, maybe they were doing something there. I call it shenanigans.
Shenanigans. That's perfect what WWE's up to. It's always their shenanigans.
They're always pulling those things up on us and getting us frustrated. But, yeah, it'll be an interesting dynamic to see John Cena and Baron Corbin. As we all know, John Cena will be taking some time off again to make his movies. So you can only assume that Baron Corbin goes over on this one, right?
Yeah, you're right, right. Because that's the thing. That's why I read into it, that's why I look at it, and if it doesn't happen, you're just going to scratch your head, and you're going to be like, geez, why did WWE do that? Why are they let him lose Money in the Bank, then they let him lose to Cena. Cena's going away to do TV, movies, etc. And, oh, gee, why would they do that? I mean, are they souring on him, or do they have something else planned, and now he just really goes nuts and becomes this gigantic monster type that doesn't care about anything and just starts beating everybody up. that's the thing. We'll see how it plays. That one, we'll see how that plays out on Sunday and what they have planned.
Yep, time will tell on that one. Interesting thing is going to happen. We're going to have two women's matches, two titles on the line. First one will be the Raw Women's Championship with the champion Alexa Bliss going one-on-one with the Boss and number one contender Sasha Banks. Now, this was different than what we expected before. They originally had Bayley in the spot. A lot of people seem to be frustrated. Again, all those people saying, we know what we're doing.
They got it right, though, here.
Yeah, but I think they got it right, despite the fact that you never wish bad upon anybody to get injured. We hope Bayley has a successful recovery from her shoulder. But this is the match I think everybody wanted. Nice dynamic in this for the fact that there seems to be some underlying tension between the two of them. Now, I've spoken to Jeff about it. I want to get your opinion on this, Jim. I kind of feel a lot of this being a little bit manufactured to kind of build up the storyline. Do you think there is some underlying tension between the two of these? And what do you expect the outcome of this match is going to be? Do we see Sasha Banks become a four-time women's champion? Or do we see Alexa Bliss continue the momentum she's had since she's come on the main roster?
I think it all depends on Bayley and how long Bayley's going to be out when she comes back. Because remember when Bayley and Sasha had those incredible matches in NXT? That's obviously what I think they were. Well, I think they were building, not obviously, but I think they were building toward that to have those two go at it for the belt at a big event, whether it be a Royal Rumble or if they could hold it, or Survivor Series or a Royal Rumble or even at a WrestleMania. But although that is farther down the road, I think that since Bayley can't go, Sasha goes. And I would think Sasha would win the belt, but again, I'm only going to say that if I knew Bayley was coming back in a few weeks, then I would be like, okay, give Sasha the belt now, and then you're going to start building up that, well, you know, hey, congratulations, hey, my friend, congratulations and all, well, thanks, hey, but you know, you didn't beat me. And then it's like, uh-oh, all right. So then the two of them, but if she's going to be out for a while, you could have Alexa Bliss win and then set up a rematch and have something go down at the rematch and do something like that. I just think, to me, it just matters how long Bayley's going to be out.
And listen, I have a preference for Alexa Bliss. It's just for the fact that I think that when they had their first draft, I think one of the MVPs, if not the MVP, or the all-star of that draft was Alexa Bliss. This Alexa Bliss has been on the point on SmackDown and on Raw. She's killed out on the mic. She's got something that Bayley doesn't, is great promo skills. She continues to just, you know, get that heat. And I think she's done a phenomenal job since she's, you know, debuted on the main roster. I would love to see Alexa Bliss continue as a champion. But like you said, it also depends on when Bayley comes back between Sasha. So, you know, that's an interesting dynamic. But then we go into SmackDown and get Natalya and Naomi. And, you know, to me, honestly, I think Natalya is more of a, you know, a name that Naomi can, you know, beat. And I think that inevitably it's going to be Naomi that walks away still women's champion for the SmackDown brand.
This will tell how much stock the company has in Naomi, because you're going against the veteran that's been around and who's done so much. So if she loses to her, you have the era of Natalya as the heel, and Naomi's going to try to get her title back, and we'll see what happens. But I think if you're going that route, you're saying, well, I don't know. I don't know about Naomi. I don't know. But if she wins, then like you said, too, this, it's a good name to get her. She's going to get over on, and it's going to build her reputation up, and now we build from there. So I think that this is a tough one for me because I don't know. I think Naomi is really, she's very athletic. She's very good. She's believable. Her mic skills are okay. How much longer does Natalya have? And is this a good time for her if she's going to wear that belt again? You don't want to have her wear it too long down the road. She might not have enough time to get the belt again. So you have her as this heel. They build her up as a heel. It's taken a while for her. Total Divas, she wasn't sure watching that season if fans were going to react, and she was nervous about that, and then they finally did when she turned. So if it is time to put the belt in her, I go back and forth on this one. I don't know. It's just I think that what will happen again will dictate what their thought process is. So if Natalya wins, it's more or less, okay, we don't think Naomi's fully ready yet for this. Let's give it to Natalya and build up some things there. If Naomi wins, then it's like you said, well, it's a good stepping stone for her and keep elevating her and keep growing her.
But boys, let's not forget the wild card, the princess of Staten Island, Carmella. Let's not forget that in her backyard, she could possibly cash in the Money in the Bank. That is also a possibility, and a very good possibility there, too, because you know what? Everyone's saying, Corbin, if you would have kept the Money in the Bank, should have cashed in at SummerSlam. Now Carmella has the opportunity to cash in, and I think there's a good opportunity that maybe you see Natalya win it, and then Carmella take it from her.
Yeah, that's really good, too. And she's got James Ellsworth with her, so with distractions, he could throw in there as well to help her cash in and all.
That
would be interesting, too. Although, you know what? That's interesting because I look at Carmella as someone a little bit below Naomi right now. So you're going to have her cash in, have that big moment. How long are they going to have it on her? I guess you could see how she does with it and go that route. But you do have that surprise factor and all, and she's going to try to cash in at some point. So that's a good point by you, too. Why not in Brooklyn, of all places, to do that in a big show like this?
Definitely be a nice little shock factor there with, you know, what they've been doing so far. You really can't predict what's going to happen. As soon as we think they're going one direction, they slap us in the face and say, basically, oh, we're going in this other direction. Now, the Raw Tag Team titles will be on the line. Sheamus and Cesaro will go one-on-one with Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, and we saw their lovely reconciliation on Raw.
Reunited. Feels
saw
so
grown
good.
Men in the audience cry and tears of joy.
I know, I bawled like a baby.
Yeah, I have my own feelings on it, Jim. But in this scenario here, I think a loss in a title exchange would be pretty hurtful for all the work that Sheamus and Cesaro have done to this point to make themselves legitimate tag teams, because originally they were just put together because they didn't have an idea for them. I kind of feel the same way it's going with Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. They really don't have an idea. So, you know, because of the fact that the tag team division in Raw is a little depleted, they decided to do this as a quick fix. Do you see this as a quick fix? And so, where do you see the tag team division going for the Raw brand right now?
I think it is, but saying that, what about those two teams that they have in that match? Those are two really good teams, and I'm hoping that all four, that they're going to put on an incredible match. So I'm looking forward to that one, thrown together or not. I think it's going to be something that this could, if they give them, hopefully they'll give them a little more time to go. I mean, it's a lot of matches on this show. But if you've got two-thirds of the Shield reuniting and you're not setting up an Ambrose-Rollins feud again, because they've done that, although it's good, but they've done that, wouldn't it be interesting if the night ended with a reuniting of the Shield and all three are champions?
Well, you know what?
Yeah, you
that'd be the only way that the crowd cheers for Roman Reigns.
Yeah, it would be.
Then the crowd would definitely.
Well, you're right about that. You're right about that. Fans would then cheer for him. But heck, he's not a full-fledged deal anyway. At least the company's not making him that way right now.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah, but I mean, we were.
I would just.
I was saying the only way that the,
you both stopped at the same time.
We were like, the company has had such a tough time of getting him over and having him cheer. And the only time that they cheer for him is when they have that, you know, the tease of the Shield reuniting. So that would be an easy way to, you know, get him over and get him cheered and loved and, you know, all that mushy stuff.
Right. I think, if they're not going to do that, then obviously Sheamus Cesaro, I think that would be good because you don't have that Shield tension either. Like they made up. They did the sign. So they made up. So there's not like that. Oh, they win the titles. Up, oh, are they going to get along? What's going on here? What do we already know now? Up, oh, they got along. They patched everything up. Look at that, they're buddy buddy again. Okay, right. If they didn't do that, and they threw in this title match, you'd be like, oh, all right. Well, how are they going to do? Is there still friction there? What's going to happen? Oh, they won the titles. How many times have we seen that where two guys won the titles and you don't know if they're getting along? What's going on there? And just it gives you a different dynamic. So I would like to see Sheamus and Cesaro retain and keep doing what they're doing because I think they're, like you said, they did something that they just put together because they didn't really have anything for them and it's been doing well. I mean, I remember WrestleMania when the fans were chanting the next night on Raw, they were doing a whole big Sheamus and Cesaro chant.
Oh yeah, I was one of them.
Show.
I was one of those people.
Well, that was incredible. So they had their Daniel Bryan moment, and but you hope that momentum will still carry over, and we'll see it on Sunday at SummerSlam. So.
All right, rapid fire here, Jim, because by the time we're done with this card, it'll already be SummerSlam. So I know we all... SmackDown Tag Team titles, you got The New Day and The Usos. Listen, this one has a chance to steal the show. They have good chemistry. Their matchup at Battleground kind of made me keep watching Battleground. Actually made me think it was going to be a good pay-per-view. I think The New Day is going to retain the titles. What do you think?
I think that... it might be time for the New Day to split up.
Wow.
And they might break them up and do something, and this is the time. They've been tag team champions on a few occasions, so I think this is where that may go down. And I think that's where we're going to see something happen.
Wow, that'd be an interesting thing to happen there. Wow. Moving on from there, Randy Orton and Rusev. Seems like a match that was just pitted together last minute. Don't really see a lot of storyline or the two interacting with one another. Seems to be just going to be a slugfest. Who do you got in this one right now? Randy Orton, unsuccessful in regaining and recapturing the WWE Championship. Rusev, coming back from a lengthy injury, lost to John Cena in a flag match. Great way to give him some momentum coming back from injury. Where do you see this one going?
Yeah, it helps Rusev more if he wins. But Randy Orton is so popular. The Miami show they had here last week, him and AJ were the two most popular on that show. They had all the signage, had Randy Orton on it, that WWE brought down. So I think Randy Orton's their guy, even though he's not the champion. And I think, it does more benefit if Rusev wins, but I'm just going to go with Randy Orton.
Gotcha. Agreed, because...
that would be the safe bet, definitely.
Agreed, because Rusev winning would make so much sense, and you know, after losing to John Cena, now he's going to lose to Randy Orton. Yeah, great push for Rusev coming back from injury. You got the Demon King, Finn Balor, which Raw made a point
to point. It's the Demon now. He's not the King.
Exactly, the Demon, and I'm glad Raw made pointed out that he was going to be at SummerSlam, because I couldn't, you know, add 2+2 when I saw the whole bloodbath and everything like that, but made it a point to say the Demon's coming back against Bray Wyatt. Kind of surprised that, you know, Bray won clean, but of course it's storyline, so we get it. We're gonna see this again at SummerSlam. Your thoughts? I think Finn Balor and the Demon prevail at SummerSlam.
I think this is I like this match. This is the match of the card. When they talk about the show stealing matches, I really look at this match as being the one. Give the guys time, let them work. Those two ring entrances alone are going to be probably worth some of the other matches. No offense to anybody else on the card, but when you have Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt come out the way they come out, especially if Finn's going to be all decked out and everything with the makeup and all, that will be great. And then those two both can work, and I think their styles are really cool. So I'm really looking forward to that one. Who wins? That's a toss up. Bray, I think either way, I think everyone's going to be happy. I don't. Whichever way they go. I hope they have a clean finish. That's what I really want to see, whoever wins on that one.
But who is it going to be, though? Is it going to be Finn or Bray? You got to make a choice here, Jim. Come on. You can't.
Well, you know,
you can't give me that, man.
Don't pause. Look at me.
I know I'm at a loss of words on that one, because it really is that one.
I know you're going to be exhausted after the entrances.
I'll go with Finn Balor.
There you go. The Demon, man. It'll be up a year almost to the date where he injured his shoulder. So nice little reconciliation there for Finn to come back.
Yeah, we're saving the two best for last. Big Cass and the Big Show with, of course, Enzo Amore up in that Shark Tank. Boy, they like using Shark Tanks now recently this past year on Raw. Your thoughts, your opinion here, who's going to come out on top?
Big Cass. Got to be.
There you go. That's all we need to hear.
That's got to be the easiest one, right?
You would think so. You would think it'd be the easiest one, but I've heard things where, you know, Enzo is going to turn on the Big Show, they're going to turn heel, they're going to bring the team back together again. Obviously, the heat that Enzo's had, and it's been well documented, the heat he has and what they want to do with him, position him at 205 Live. So, you know, as much as it seems like be a clear-cut win like Randy Orton over Rusev, a lot of factors could play in this one.
Look, you're going to see this guarantee that you're going to see Big Cass win, and you're going to see a nasty bump by Enzo, because Vince McMahon loves to see Enzo bump.
Yes, he does love to see him.
He's got
to
get out of that, but he's got to get out of that shark cage. That's the only thing. If there was no shark cage, I'd be like, oh yeah, that's what could happen there too. He's got to get out of that shark cage.
We'll see. Don't let's not underestimate creative there for WWE, how they can, you know, give Enzo a nasty bump. But, of course, the last one, the Cruiserweight Championship, a little surprising that Tozawa beat Neville, but the King of Cruiserweights gets his rematch. And, listen, I don't know exactly if, you know, Tozawa was the right guy to take the title away from Neville. To me, it kind of was like, wow, it kind of doesn't take away everything, but kind of was like, left a bad taste of Neville's reign. You think that Neville can regain the championship and become the King of the Cruiserweights once again?
Yeah, I think that, right, I think that's the way to go with that one. I mean, I think him losing the title was more publicity streamed internationally because it gets the big buzz, and then Neville will come back on Sunday and regain his title.
I'd say it's a huge card, but are you at all taken aback how the IC title isn't on the line or how the Hardys are not on the card as of yet?
The Hardys, I am. The IC title, the titles, guys, don't. Oh, please, no one take offense by this. If there are any wrestlers that hear it later on, whoever, that the titles don't mean as much as they once did. Sure, everyone wants to be the world champion, and that's a big thing.
What did you just say, Jim? The titles don't mean anything? I'm not even a wrestler. I'm offended by that.
Heresy.
So, right,
how dare you blast me that?
It doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter who is the IC champ. We're upset, not that you're upset, but in generally speaking, we're upset because the IC title's not on the line. That's what we're talking about. Not who is the IC champ, the person, but that the IC belt is on the line. We're not saying that X wrestler is not on the card. We're saying the IC title is not up for grabs.
Yeah, I'm more upset, to be honest with you, Jim. I'm more upset that the title has been kind of dragged through the mud again. It seems like they really don't know what they want to do with the Intercontinental Championship. I mean, you see what they're doing with the U.S. title, giving some prestige back to it. I don't know, is the IC title broken? Like, can you not bring it back to what it once was?
It's broken.
It's broken. Like, it used to be the workhorse title, and now it seems to be just the title you have on the pre-show.
I'm spoiled, Jim.
You won't defend it.
Because I'm used to Perfect Brett. I'm used to Brett Davies.
Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, I'm used to that. And now I see that it could potentially be The Miz, and nothing against Jason Jordan, but Jason Jordan, I mean, come on.
That's what we're getting. I don't know what to say on that one. I really don't, because, yeah, like you said, the U.S. title, right, AJ Styles. But see, that's the point, though. It's the person. AJ Styles, Kevin Owens. That's who you have as the U.S. champion. It's the person. It's more so than the title belt. Who are they going to put that title belt on? So would it be fair to say we'd be more upset if the U.S. title wasn't on the line? Because that means AJ Styles wouldn't be on the card than the IC belt right now.
Yeah, fair point. I would be more upset that AJ Styles was on the card rather than the U.S. title itself. But you're right. It's the title, you know, the old school mentality.
I'd rather have Finn Balor against Bray Wyatt than an IC title match with who's holding the belt and who's in play in that whole role. And probably, you know what, maybe in the pre-show, that's what's going to happen. You're going to have that match in the pre-show, and the IC title belt's going to be defending there. But still, there are certain matches on that card that I would much rather see than the IC title defended, just for the fact it's the IC title.
Man, listen, we are a mere days away from SummerSlam, Jim. And
Jim had mentioned his show stealer match, which is going to be Styles and Owens. Or no, it was Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, I'm
going to
say Sasha Banks, Alexa Bliss. Brian, what are you going to say?
I'm going to say Styles and Kevin Owens, they're going to steal the show.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think Styles can go back-to-back SummerSlams and steal the show with Kevin Owens. And with the dynamic of Shane McMahon, it's pretty interesting what might happen.
I just hope Shane McMahon doesn't ruin it. I hope they don't do something there with him to ruin it. Because you're right, that could be, that's a very good, strong, show-stealing type match and all. And guys, I got to say this too. Every match that they have on that SummerSlam show, and we're going to go back to the beginning of our conversation about NXT and development. Every match has an NXT alum in it.
Yes.
Every match has an NXT alum in it, so that says a lot of whether they were established talent or not, or their homegrown talent, or talent they brought in and worked into their way. So that's a dynamic to see how the NXT talent has evolved and morphed into WWE and what they're doing there.
But to add on to your point, too, wouldn't you say that NXT itself, as well as NXT TakeOver, will be happening before SummerSlam? It's what's going to kick off all the excitement, because you look at the NXT TakeOver card, and one that I'm looking forward to the most, Bobby Roode and Drew McIntyre. To me, initially, when I saw these two together, I was like, that's money. I mean, to me, that's the one I'm looking forward to the most, believe it or not, besides SummerSlam.
Right. That could be a SummerSlam match. Exactly.
Could have been.
And the same thing happens WrestleMania when they have TakeOver. They have matches that could be on those main roster pay-per-views, and that's part of the mystique. That's part of the essence of NXT, which makes NXT so great. Mm-hmm. And again, the other thing is, too, look, we talked about it. That SummerSlam has so many matches, and that's great for talent because it gives everybody a shot, and I'm all for that. But then you look at NXT, and it has maybe five matches, and that means talent could work a little more, and you have talent who can work a little more. And those shows, rarely yet have I read full about people not liking the NXT shows. There might be some that happened here or there or did this, but usually those takeover shows, they get nothing but rave reviews. Well, I think part of the reason is you don't have as many matches, so you have the top talent in those matches, and you have quality talent in those matches, and they let him go.
Listen, you don't have to sell Drew McIntyre. How crazy it is, too, that. Say Heath Slater had a run as a tag team champion. Jinder Mahal, the modern-day Maharaja, is the WWE champion. And now Drew McIntyre has a chance to become the NXT champion. What a crazy turn for three-man band, huh?
It's crazy. And Jinder, Triple H mentioned this today on the conference call.
Yes, yes.
Jinder was runner-up in that tournament when they had the tournament for the title.
Well, it was Seth, right? It was Seth and Jinder, right?
Yeah, exactly. The Seth Rollins, yes, yes. So he said that was something. They've always had their eye on Jinder. And he mentioned this, Drew McIntyre as well, because he was talking about Drew too. And he says sometimes they've got to go away or figure it out. He wasn't saying WWE in this case. He wasn't saying WWE needs to figure out. He says sometimes guys need to go do something else or take a time off for a while and figure it out. And to me that says figure out the WWE way. Now they have the NXT way, which is great because you could do NXT and be successful there, and then hopefully get a spot at the main roster if that's the progression of it. But the point is, Drew McIntyre, Jinder Mahal. Look at these two guys. Back then, Drew McIntyre was Vince McMahon's guy, and then he had some personal problems that happened, and it ruined everything, and then that was the end of that. And Jinder Mahal, right, was in 3MB, and just things weren't working, and now all of a sudden you got Jinder Mahal in a big spot on the main roster and Drew McIntyre in a big spot on NXT TakeOver. So it's a process. It's a process, but it's not an easy process. It really isn't.
Jim, one day on WWE Network 24/7 will be like three-man band. We will see
WWE 24, yeah. Three-man band.
I'll be Heath Slater. I'm the Heath Slater.
WWE Network 24, you know.
I'm just happy to have a spot. I'm Heath Slater.
Exactly. I mean, but, you guys got kids, man.
Have you seen the David Lagana documentary on Drew McIntyre?
No, I have. No, I have not.
I would recommend like watching it. It's really good.
It's on YouTube, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Drew
Galloway, last independence.
Last three days
in independence.
It's like 20 minutes. YouTube it, man. It's really, really good. David Lagana does good work on that.
I will check that out then. I do want to see that, especially with everything coming up this weekend and all. So that'll be really good.
Hey, Jim, man, it's been a pleasure.
Jim,
man.
One last thing. Do you get that feel? Like, is it like a WrestleMania atmosphere where the excitement's already building up, but we're here and it's approaching pretty quickly? Are you sensing that from the crowd?
Right, that's the thing. I think, I was saying before, SummerSlam is the number. To me, SummerSlam's number two, and then you got Royal Rumble and Survivor Series 3 or 4. But the company mindset is they want to build it up like that, and they want that feel. And having NXT TakeOver there helps give that. But you guys have gone. There's still nothing like WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
There's still nothing that compares to that. And just being there, and for people to sit there from 5 o'clock till midnight, and most of them still there at 11:30, watching until the end, that's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. And the events that go around. But the feel, it is fun. SummerSlam is an event. It's a big deal. It's not WrestleMania. I think it's going to – I think I'm going to feel it more when we get toward the weekend and we get into NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3, and then I'll start to really get into it. Even media-wise, it's not as big as WrestleMania. WrestleMania, you'll see everybody covering, even mainstream media news, not sports, that'll be covering it and talking about it and all. And all the TV shows will have talent on, all these different talk shows that not wrestling talk shows, not sports talk shows, but just regular coffee morning talk shows and all will have certain superstars on during WrestleMania time. And I don't think it's reached that level yet, but it's still very exciting. Still a very exciting time. It'll be fun for everybody. SummerSlam. It should be the card on paper looks really good. Let's see. Hopefully they deliver. Hopefully fans aren't too disappointed with the outcomes.
Jim Varsalona, the Miami Herald. You can follow him on Twitter at JimmyV3. See, Jimmy V3, I always get it right the second time. Jimmy V3.
You got it. You got it. Not unlucky 13. I didn't want unlucky 13. Although Dan Marino was number 13, and look what he did. Although he didn't win a Super Bowl, but he did everything else.
Yeah, so it's a Hall of Famer.
Very talented writer for the Miami Herald. Hey, Jim, thank you so much, man. It's been a pleasure, and hopefully we can do this again somewhere down the road.
Jim, are you making the trip up up to New York for SummerSlam or
no? I'm not going to New York. Scott Fishman, who you've had on the show, correct?
Yes.
Or he's been on one of the things you write. Scott does writing for me, also does Channel Guide as well. He's going to be going up there. He's going to be going to NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. He'll also be going to SummerSlam on Sunday, so he's going to send me some reports on that. I'm going to post them. MiamiHerald.com. I got MiamiHerald.com/sports/fighting. So if people want to go there and read, I do a lot of interviews and feature stuff there. We're also going to have the SummerSlam reports that Scott's going to provide as well this weekend. So we'll have that. But I got a lot of stuff this week with, Ring of Honor, War of the Worlds UK. Mm-hmm. So I got an interview with Kenny King that's coming. We're going to have that up. Ryan Bauman did something on Low Key, an interview with him to preview Destination X for Global Force Wrestling. And then obviously a bunch of SummerSlam stuff as well. So, and NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. So there'll be a lot of stuff there. There's a lot of stuff going on this week and all. And like you mentioned before about Ric Flair, just all the best to him. Everybody's going to keep their eyes to that and thoughts and prayers to him and all. And that's all we could do. And hopefully everything will be well.
Well, unfortunately, can't make it to this SummerSlam, but hopefully maybe next year might be different. And maybe we'll get you in studio.
Me, you, and Scotty will have beer and we'll dedicate it to you.
We could do a run-in, right? We could do a run-in and get thrown out, and then we'll be viral on YouTube and everything like that. And
get that good heat.
Yeah.
Get ourselves over,
all
basically.
All right, Jeff Bryan, thank you guys much, very much so. Anytime, just give me a holler or whatever like that. Or anytime you want to talk a little bit of WWE or a little bit of Ring of Honor or indie wrestling. We got a lot of stuff going on in Florida,
man,
as you guys know. A lot of things going on down here. All right, thank you guys.
And that was our SummerSlam preview with Jim Varsalone. You can follow him on Twitter at JimmyV3. Great writer for the Miami Herald, man.
Jimmy V.
And of course, he gets it right, man. And a lot of insight too on NXT and just the future of it. Of course, we talked to Adam Cole. But of course, our prayers and thoughts go out to Nature Boy Ric Flair in this tough time. And again, we're praying for him, man, because SummerSlam won't be the same without the Nature Boy. Woo!
Yeah, people talk about SummerSlam and Brooklyn right now and NXT TakeOver about, they all can't be home runs, right? And they have a lot to live up to, for the past two events that they've done have been pretty good and exciting. So there's a lot of expectations for this one as well. But again, there's no doubt, and there's always a sense of expectation, Jeff, when we have guests on, especially with Jimmy having him on and discussing not basically the state of NXT, but also the SummerSlam card, breaking it down with him. And obviously...
Break it down.
And all the other stuff we've been discussing, we have no shortage of great guests we have on the show, and Jimmy has been an amazing guest. It's sad he won't be coming up for SummerSlam, but at the same time, who knows?
That's all right.
Next
we'll get Scott to pay for the beers, and then we'll just give him the tab to Jim when he goes back down to...
Exactly. See, so he'll be a part of it in some way when we send him the bill.
His wallet will feel it.
Yes, and in all due respects, we'll be nation for Ric Flair and... for Jimmy as well. So it'll be a good time, and I'm looking forward to it. And it's like when we talk about events like WrestleMania, or you know, eventually we'll be talking about Survivor Series and the Royal Rumble. Believe it or not, summer will be coming to an end. The anticipation is always exciting, but there's nothing like, Jeff, and words can't describe it. I've had a dictionary or thesis, or sometimes I use a lot of big words that even I myself don't know the meaning of, but it just sounds cool. There are no words to describe the feeling if you're a wrestling fan for events like this, because it's you have to be a part of it. And to be a part of SummerSlam again, Jeff, for the third straight year with you, is nothing short of an honor and exciting. And I wouldn't want to do it with anybody else, because you are my tag team partner. And, you know, the Jersey Wrecking Crew wouldn't be the same without you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I feel so loved and
appreciated. Shut up and just take the compliment.
Yeah, let's do the little pound thing like Seth Rollins and Dean
Ambrose. No, because we're not the Shield. That's not us. We're the Too Sweet.
Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Exactly. We're Too Sweet.
You know what I said? Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Exactly. Jersey Wrecking Crew. That's what we are, man. Representing Brooklyn, New York.
So, you want to find
this? Yeah, boy!
You want to know what we're up to? Well, this will be up to after NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3. We will make our way back to, maybe not Studio 51, but to a studio, and we'll give you our NXT post show as
somewhere,
well.
A closet somewhere in New York City.
Somewhere in the bowels of New York City, where there's a microphone and a laptop on hand. We will provide you an NXT post show.
Yeah, and, you know, as excited I am for the athletic events, which will be the matches, it's just so cool to see where the storylines are going to go, and we'll be breaking that down, like you said before.
Break it down.
For NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3 and SummerSlam. So it's going to be really busy. But again, like you've mentioned several times, Jeff, it is a labor of love. And, you know, I wouldn't think about doing anything else but doing this show. So really excited for it.
And to put a ribbon on the show, because we got to get ready for SummerSlam, man. Man, we got to get a rest. We got to you know, rest up for our nation that we're going to do this weekend. Put a ribbon on it. NATO wins the G1 Climax, beating Kenny Omega. A little bit surprised?
A little bit. Well... Yeah, I was surprised because I wanted Kenny Omega to win it. But again, it's not a huge shock because here he got his victory over Okada. So NATO winning is cool, and I'm sure they want to go in a different direction with Kenny Omega in the U.S. Championship. So who knows? But again, it goes back to what you and I discussed prior to this when I found out that NATO had won. It's like, I don't get that feeling now they really want to put the title on him because... They just don't know what direction Kenny's going to go. If this was maybe 3 years ago, there'd be no doubt. But again, 3 years ago, it wasn't believable that Kenny Omega could be a heavyweight champion. Nowadays, with the fact that, you know, we listen to Stone Cold's podcast and people have their opinions about Kenny Omega, I mean, if there's any time for Kenny Omega, if he ever wants to make that leap, and I'm not saying he should, but if he wants to make that leap to WWE in the near future, there's no time better than the present to kind of start thinking and planning that out, because... We've seen what he's done in the G1 Climax. We've seen all of his matches in the G1 Special. And the type of style that you have to be able to do in Japan, it wears and tears on you. And Kenny Omega right now is, you know, he's in that line of his career where you just hope if he does get there, he won't be a shell of his former self.
Yeah, I mean, this is hands down probably the best G1 tournament ever. And I think a lot of people won't argue with that. Again, Kenny Omega beat Okada.
And I would say this is the best we've seen of Kenny Omega so far last year. So it's like you want to build off that momentum.
Man, we can get a whole episode of the wear and tear that Kenny Omega will have when he wakes up. Be like when all these matches are done and he actually has a chance
to reflect. I'm sore for him.
Wow. But again, also something that was great was watching the turn of Shibata, who came by into the ring and actually...
Very emotional moment.
Let us know that he's okay. He's alive, although most likely his in-ring career is over, but still, what's more valuable? And that's that word life. It's very precious.
Quality of life, yes.
Boy, did he have a scare. We got an NXT post show. We have SummerSlam post show. You are listening to the High Spot Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast and all our social media outlets.
Give us that follow.
Goes out to Jim Varsalona, the Miami Herald.
Jimmy V.
Great guest to recap. Well, great guest previewing SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. And of course, the next time you hear from us will be this weekend. Again, find us on Twitter, follow us, and you can see where we're going to be every single time. But we will be heard from this weekend. And
also, listen, subscribe on iTunes as well.
Subscribe on the iTunes. You know, listen and tell us if we're doing a good job or not. That is the only way we're going to know. And of course, we thank you, the fans. SummerSlam is coming up this weekend. NXT TakeOver, something to wrestle with, man, this week.
Jersey Wrecking Crew is going to be taking over Manhattan and Brooklyn. So looking forward to it. We might not ever be the same again. But I got to tell you one thing, Jeff. This after the end of the SummerSlam weekend, after NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3, SummerSlam, Raw, all the events we're going to be attending and try to get, you know, be documenting as well. It's just going to be
too sweet. Woo!
That one's for you, Nate.